As I said this morning and will reiterate tonight, Christmas can be, as if you do not already know that, can be overwhelming in many ways. For most of us plan to do more than is reasonable. We often spend beyond what is affordable, and we eat beyond what is necessary. We fill our schedules to the maximum, and then we wonder why we don't have a good experience with Christmas. And of course, we can blame the culture. We can say that it's just simply become too commercialized. And yet, do we really have to buy into the commercialization of Christmas? And we can say, well, there's just entirely too many things to do, but do we have to really do everything? We can say Christmas has become far too expensive. It's a financial strain. But do we really have to spend ourselves into the middle of next year to go through Christmas? If we're not careful, we even as believers, as followers of Christ, can miss the good news of Christmas. And that's what we're looking at this Christmas season, the good news of Christmas. This morning we looked at the good news of Christmas. We have joy. And tonight we're going to look at the good news of Christmas. We have something that we need to know that is available to us as believers. It's not available, I suppose, to everyone. We have what? We have light. We have joy and we have light. But we can get so caught up in this busyness of Christmas, of the Christmas season, that we, even as followers of Christ, can miss the whole purpose of having Christmas celebration. This morning we considered that the good news of Christmas is we have joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And we are to be the emissaries, the ambassadors, the reflectors of that joy. Wherever we are, others ought to say to us, there's a picture of it, there's a picture of it. That's what I'm talking about. That's Christmas. I can see it in their lives. They reflect the joy of Christmas. They should, because they are followers of Christ. Tonight, we look at the fact that the good news of Christmas is that we have light. We have light. John opens his account of the gospel of Christ referring to him, to Jesus himself, to Christ as the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. The life was the light of men. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells his followers that they are to be light, not simply to carry a light, not to just have a light. He says, you are the light of the world. The city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Do not, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The good news of Christmas is not only that we have the light, but that we actually are to be, in a very real way, we are to be a light shining in the darkness. We're to be a light shining in the darkness. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the importance of knowing the light of Christ and of being the light that shines in a world that has been darkened by sin. You know, we often think the Christ child came to a world that was darkened in sin, and certainly he has brought the light of his heavenly Father to the world, and we celebrate Christmas, and it ought to be a time of joy, and we have had for some 2,000 years the message of the gospel of Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, it's great, but in a real way, in an actual way, the world, sorry to say, is still quite a bit darkened, isn't it? I mean, I would like to be able to tell you tonight, and since then, and 2,000 years have passed, and we've come to this time when we again celebrate the arrival of the Christ, I'd like to be able to tell you, well, now you know
There was a time when this world was dark in sin, and praise God those days are gone, for now the world is filled with light, filled with those who follow Christ, filled with those who love the Lord. I'd like to be able to tell you that, but I can't tell you that because it's not exactly true. For in many ways, the light is still somewhat dissipated. The light is still not as bright as it could be or should be. And the world in very many, in a real actual way, is still darkened by sin. Paul writes in the first century, to the first century church at Corinth, he says in 2 Corinthians 4, "Therefore, since we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see what? The light of the gospel, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." You've noticed, or perhaps you're one of those people who take a great amount of effort and work and even some money this time of year to decorate their homes for Christmas, to put lights out on their houses. Some I've seen some crawling on the roofs, and stringing lights on in the gutters, and putting lights up the eaves and down, and lights on the chimney, and lights in the bushes, and lights on the post out front, and lights around the windows, and then you can make an evening of it, and it can be a pleasant evening if you don't mind spending some money for gas, and drive through the neighborhoods and look, and there's some places where you can look that are even more extensive, because neighbors seem to get into this battle about my light's brighter than your light thing, and so they become very competitive. In some neighborhood, you can see there's a competition going on about whose lights are going to be the brightest, whose house is going to glow the best from a plane flying over at 30,000 feet can say, "Oh, there they are," and they light them up. Donna's gotten caught up in this. You come by our house and it's lit up now. It looks like we got our bushes just lit up like crazy. I'd recommend you drive out to Fenwick Court and take a look at them. Now, one strand burnt out, so it's not quite as bright as it was, but you ought to see them. They're beautiful. Stop in and she'll give you a cup of cocoa and tell you the history of the lights. Bring your family. It's beautiful, you know, and that's all right. I think that's fine, you know, that if people want to do that, and it can be very beautiful, and yet as beautiful and as noticeable as that is, we are to be the light of Christ, and our light should shine more brightly and be even more noticeable, not gaudy, not flashing and gaudy, but they ought to be noticeable throughout the year. We are the light that Christ has given to this world, and we're to be the light, not only the light of Christmas, we're to be the light every day of the year. We are to be the light of Christ. We're to be the true light, and we reflect the true light. The true light is Jesus himself. What's the old hymn say? The light of the world is Jesus, isn't it? And that hymn's right. The hymn writers grasp the true light is Jesus, but we are his lights, reflecting his lights into this world. We have a light that reflects our Lord. The light reflects our Lord. Now, those who have the light of Christ reflect the Lord in righteousness. And so our lives reflect his light. Now, the psalmist writes in Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, "Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday." Noonday, again, the brightest part of the day, light. Those who are living apart from Christ, however, those who are living without the light are the very ones who are stumbling in darkness. They are stumbling through life in a most dangerous way. Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 4, verse 18, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day, the righteous. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Now, Jesus came to this world, the scripture tells us, to bring light to a world that was darkened by sin. And the message of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, is the same even today. Jesus came to bring light, and he came to provide light, and he came so that we can be light. He came to those who were stumbling through their lives in a world darkened by sin. And today, we, his church, have the responsibility and the privilege of continuing the work that he began on what we call that Christmas day so long ago. And so as we consider the good news of Christmas, we must not overlook the blessing that we have, not merely the responsibility, but the blessing that we have to show others the true light as we reflect the light of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. If you want to turn off your light, that's one quick way to do it, grumble and dispute. Light doesn't shine too brightly through grumbling and disputing. But do all things without grumbling or disputing. Verse 15, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. You appear, he said in verse 14, you appear as lights in the world. Now verse 14 ought to speak to us directly tonight. It ought to hit home pretty directly. But we shouldn't think of it as the end of the admonition. We do things in the right spirit with the right attitude, and that would include, as he began the passage, or at least from where I began reading, that we do things without grumbling or disputing with one another. But we are to do more than that. We are to be light shining forth in the world that has been darkened by sin. We are bearers of the light that reflect Christ. We are also to have light that overcomes darkness. Now, that's the nature of light. Nature of light is it overcomes darkness. It wouldn't be light if it didn't overcome darkness. And it's very obvious that we are living in a world that is, in many ways, in darkness, being darkness representing evil and sin, and it's going in the wrong direction. And it's very important that we, as followers of Christ, just shine forth, continue to shine with the light of Christ. And there's a place for shining. When you bring out the light of Christ, and when it's shining, that it points out evil. There's a place for that. And we, in the world that we live in, a world that's darkened by sin, we will, by very nature, point out that which is evil. We will shine forth on that which is evil. And it'll become apparent that it's wrong, it's evil, it's bad, it's against God's will. But that's not the totality of what we do as light. Our purpose, and the Lord didn't put us on here just to be the ones who part around, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's evil, that's bad, that's no good, and on, and pointing out all that is wrong. He didn't leave us as the great informers to let everybody know that they are sinning, that they're failing, that they're not doing God's will, that they are evil, that they're living in darkness. That's not the totality of what we are as light. That can be a part of it. That is a part of it, but that's not the totality of it. Jesus came to take us out of darkness of sin into his wonderful, marvelous, glorious light. A coach who simply looks at his team and sees them practicing and says, you're doing that wrong, that was a terrible move,
That was bad. You shouldn't do that. That's no way to go out for a pass. That's no way to block. That's no way to center. That's no way to punt. That's no way to... And all he does is tell them over and over again, that's wrong, that's no good, you're bad at that, that's no good, that's bad. If that's all that he does, then he's going to end up with a team that doesn't function very well. In fact, he might end up with a team that has become very proficient in knowing what is bad. And they might say, we are really bad. And they don't mean it the way kids are saying today when bad is good. They mean we are bad. And bad means bad. And we know everything that we're doing is wrong. And we know it. And we've been told over and over and over again what it's wrong. We don't hike right. We don't pass right. We don't block right. We don't run right. We don't kick right. We don't do anything right. We are bad. We can write a book on how bad we really are. In fact, we're the worst. And the coach wouldn't get much respect. I mean, he's not going to be put up in the Hall of Fame for coaches because he's got a team that understands really how bad they are. Now, a good coach has to do what? Well, he points out that they're bad, but he does what? Obviously. What's he do after that? He tells them, now here's what you need to do that is good. Here's the answer to what you're doing bad. You're hiking wrong, but let me show you. Let me explain to you. Let me teach you how to correct that and make it right. Let me be a light in your darkness. Our team isn't going to stay stuck in this darkness of losing, losing, losing because we're bad. We are going to improve because I want to shine the light on, yes, what you're doing is wrong, but I want to shine a light, bright light on what is right, what you can do to improve. And so Jesus came into this world more, much more than a coach. He shines a light on sin. And he wasn't shy about telling people when they were sinful and what they were doing was wrong and they were living in sin. He particularly hit on those who thought they were so righteous. He talked to those who were the religious elite of the day and he pointed out their sin. He shined a light right on it and he said, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers, you snakes in the grass. He wasn't shy about pointing a light on them, saying they were evil. But he also shined a light and said, no, this is what you should be. And he shined the light on his heavenly Father and said, this is who you should follow. And this is what it really means. And this is how you should really live. And he shined a light so that it would overcome the darkness and make lightness out of darkness. A child who has a parent that's only good at pointing out their errors is not a very blessed child, I don't think. Do childs ever do anything and he's pointed out that they are wrong? Oh, yeah. Every day probably there's something that they need to be corrected for. They need to be said, no, that's not the way you do that. You don't do it that way. Kids keep working on this play and they've had Stacy and others tell them, you know, that's not the way you do it. That's not it. No, you're doing that. That's wrong. That's not the way you do it. You don't know. You're standing in the wrong place. No, you're doing it. But they don't just stop there and tell them all that they're doing wrong and they show them what to do is right. And then when they do what's right, they emphasize that and they praise them for what they're doing is right. And they say, now that's good. You're doing wonderful there. And improve in that area and reach forward that area. And so it is. And let's make the lightness brighter than it is. And Christ, you see, Christ didn't just come to point out evil and say this is what you're all is wrong and then leave the scene. No, he came to bring them to know the joy of living in the light. It's true for coaches. It's true for parents. It's true for preachers. Preachers can become very, very proficient at pointing out everything that's evil and wrong and bad and no good and rotten. And they can use biblical and back it up very, very much from the Word of God and say, this is no good. It's evil. And it's true. And that needs to be pointed out. And that shouldn't be overlooked. I mean, some go the other extreme and they never say anything's evil. Everything's all right. And that's not true. There is that which is evil. It needs to have the light shined on it. But if a congregation, if a body of Christ gets a total diet of this is evil, this is evil, that is evil, this is bad, you're doing this wrong, and that wrong, and that's all they hear, and that's all they see, that's not the full gospel of Christ.
For Jesus came to shine the light, not just to shine it on the evil, but to overcome the evil with His goodness. And so the Scripture says, do not be overcome by evil. In Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Evil, dark, good, light. We are to be the light. The good news of Christmas is we have a light that overcomes darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so we have the light. Now let's not hide that light. Let's let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We need to let our light shine in a powerful way. Matthew says again, we read this earlier, but listen to it again. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I made a mistake tonight, Donna. I had it in my head and I was going to bring it with me. And I was going at this time show you a light switch. And I was going to click the light switch off. And at that moment, Steve was going to kill the lights. And that was going to be impressive. And she would have loved that. And I was going to say, you see, we have a great thing we can do with electricity. We can switch it. And we can turn the light on. And when you heard it, because you wouldn't see it, when you heard that light switch click again, Steve would have turned the lights back on. And you would have said, man, that preacher's got some connections. Because there wasn't going to be any wires coming from the switch. That was a good thing to... good idea that didn't come to fruition. But listen, our lights in your home and in this building, our lights come with switches, and they can be turned off and they can be turned on. The light within us, the light of Christ, is not to have a switch on it that we turn on and we turn off. Christ didn't come into our lives when we were baptized into Christ with a switch that we can say, all right, Jesus, you can shine now. I'm in a comfortable place. Shine forth. I'm at church. I'm around people who love you. I'm around people who also sing glorious words to your glory and love to you. And click on. And then you get to work or you get someplace else where it's not quite so Jesus friendly. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've been in those places and then you have that switch and you say, well, Jesus, I'm going to turn your light down. Or at least put it on a rheostat, a dimmer switch, and you can turn it down some. But there's no switch on the Holy Spirit. There's no switch on the light of Christ. He's not to be turned on and turned off. He didn't come that way. He's to be wired in directly. And He's to be light all the time. He's to be lighting from your life all the time. So we have a light that's not to be hidden. The light within us brings glory to the source of that light, not to ourselves. That you may do good works that glorify your Father who is in heaven. And our light isn't to bring glory to us, but it's to bring glory to God the Father. Saturday night and Sunday you're going to see, and it's already beginning to take place here, and it's beginning to get set up. We've got our stage beginning to look more like the play it's going to be. And we're going to have a bulletin, and it's going to have a cast on there, and it's going to have the names of everybody involved. Well, when we were putting that together, I spoke to some who were working on it, and I said I was reminded of a,
of a Christmas play. Donald will remember the one that we went to. It was in Kentucky, and it was a tremendous event. It was a great Christmas program, or it may have been Easter. When you get older, you get these things mixed up. But it was one of those, Christmas or Easter. Yeah. Had to be one of them. I mean, what else would it be? I mean, Purim? I don't think so. I think it was Christmas or Easter. And they put on, and it had a lot of people involved. And you did get a program when you came in, but there was not, and intentionally so, there wasn't one name of one human being mentioned in the whole program. In fact, on the front it said, this program, this play is being presented to the glory of our God and Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. We thank Him for all He's given us. Everyone involved wants all the glory to go to Him. Therefore, you will read no names mentioned, nor are we going to mention them afterwards. This is being done to His glory. They presented the whole program, and nobody's name was mentioned before or after. I mean, obviously people would recognize some people, and the glory went to Him. Now, Wayne, are you saying we shouldn't have a program, we shouldn't have names? No, I'm not necessarily saying that. But what I am saying is that our lives need to be that way. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. We need to all, to everything we do, we need to do it to His glory, not to our glory. You do something great and wonderful, the glory is supposed to be going to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Family was on their way home from church. Little kids, this was a little girl. She was at that age where she still talked to her parents. You know, there's a certain age where they do that. And there's a certain age that while they're still talking to their parents, they're asking questions. And she listened. She was up in church. It must have been the day for the children to come up to hear the church, the preacher talk, you know. And so she listened to him. And on the way home, she had some questions about what he had said. Mom, the preacher said that God is so big that He could hold the whole world in His hand. Is that true? My mom knew that that was, you know, talking about God in human terms, but for her mind, and I guess for the illustration, she thought, well, certainly. Well, that's true. And so she said to her, yes, sweetheart, that's true. God is so big that He can hold the whole world in His hand. In fact, He created the whole world. He created the whole universe. Obviously, yeah, He's so big, He could put the whole world right in the palm of His hand. She thought, well, that's that. Got that answered. But the little girl, and at that age, saw, you know, you've been there. One question just leads to the next question, right? Question, it's a two-part question, part B. The preacher also said, Mom, that when we give our lives to Him through Jesus Christ, that He comes, that God even Himself comes to live within us. Is that true? Mom again went back through her theology. Well, wait a minute. That when we are immersed into Christ, we see the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, well, that's God. Yeah, He comes to live within us. I mean, that's where His abode, He abides within us. So she felt safe in saying, yes, again. Believe it or not, the preacher was right on both of those points. Yes, that's right. He comes to live within you. Part C. Part C was not another question, but a deduction from the two questions. Mom, if A is true and B is true, if God is so big, if He is so big that He could hold the whole world in His hand, and yet He can come and live within us, wouldn't He show through? The little girl didn't realize it, but she had stumbled onto a great truth of theology, hadn't she? That's the exact point. God is so
big that when He lives in your life, listen to me, He will show through. And others around will see you because He'll be poking out all over. You are not big enough to contain the Lord Himself living in your life. He will show through this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And so, like that little girl, we need to let His light shine. Don't even try to hide it. Don't try to switch it off, because He wants to shine through your life. Christmas. The good news is we have joy. The good news is we have light. Our Father God in heaven, thank You so much for, again, blessing us with Your Son. And as we look at this Christmas season, the good news that You've brought to us, good news, the gospel, we thank You again this evening. We thank You that we have joy and that we have light because we have Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for giving Him to us. Thank You, Father, for Him coming to make it possible for us to know eternal life and possible for us to be the light that shines forth in a dark world, not simply pointing out sin, but, Father, living to Your glory and bringing light to this world of darkness. And, Father, we pray that as we leave this place tonight, wherever we go, that our light will shine brightly for You. In Christ's name, amen.